want to welcome you here this morning. And if you don't yet know me, my name is Linda Ray, and I'm the pastor of Family Ministries here at North Shore Alliance Church. And so I generally spend my Sunday mornings with our kids from the nursery age up to the grade sevens. And we generally have a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that we'll have a lot of fun up here today, too. I suspect you have fun every week. But I just really believe that I have a simple word for us this morning, a word that may not be revolutionary, it may not rock your world, but I believe it's a word that God has for us, and I believe it's a word that He wants you to hear. And so we're going to just dive right in. And the title, or the topic I was given this week, is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be thinking already, Linda, you're using big words. That wasn't the plan. But let me give some shape and some understanding to where this word sanctification comes from. It's probably not a word that you've used this week, unless you, like me, are studying for writing a sermon, because it's not a word we use in our everyday lives. But it is a word that's at the center of who we are as a church and who we are as a denomination, the wider church that we find ourselves a part of. If you look over at this beautiful stained glass window, which I'm sure you've seen before, we see four symbols, and they represent four pillars of who we theologically are as a church. They are Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, our Sanctifier, Jesus, our Healer, and Jesus, our Coming King. And maybe you didn't know this, but sanctification is one of the four things that's really at the center of who we are. So what is sanctification? Well, if you Googled, like I did, you would find that sanctification is the act of setting apart or making holy. Now, this sounds simple enough, but it's not something that works in our society, because there are very few things that we set apart and make holy. The Jewish believer would have understood this, because in the temple, many things were set apart and washed and cleansed, and there were rituals, and things were sanctified. So, one way to look at what sanctification is in the process of salvation, God's saving work, is to look at what it's not, or to compare it to several other terms. Salvation in the scriptures is shown in three tenses. Now, this is your grammar lesson of the day. A tense is past, present, future. And so salvation comes in three ways. It says in the Bible that we are saved. It says that we are being saved. And it also says that we will be saved. These three tenses have big theological words that go with them. So let me share them. Regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. Again, these are terms that we don't use every day, and so I want us to be sure that we're on the same page before we dive into the text and we talk about what each of these mean. Regeneration is the act of God putting a new heart in us, and by His Spirit, we trade death for life because of Jesus' payment made for us on the cross. Regeneration happens when we are saved, when we commit our lives to Jesus, when we say we want Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Sanctification is the act of God transforming us and making us more like Jesus as we surrender and cooperate with His Spirit. Sanctification is an ongoing process. And glorification is the final removal of sin from the life of the believer, which will take place when Christ returns. These are the three terms of salvation. We are going to look at these three concepts in light of a scripture, which will hopefully make this more clear and will hopefully lead us to greater understanding. So if you could, turn with me to Romans 8 in your Bibles. In the Pew Bible, that's on page 916. Because I've given you three words, we're going to look at this scripture in three parts. And so I'm going to read the scripture and then talk about it and then repeat. And so let's read Romans 8, 1 through 4. It says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live according to the Spirit. No, who do not live according to the flesh, but who live according to the Spirit. That's what it says. This passage describes this moment of regeneration. There are others in the scripture that talk about us getting a new heart and a new life, that the old is gone and the new has come. Regeneration is a transaction that takes place when we believe in Jesus and turn from sin. Jesus pays our debt in a legal sense, and we are set free from sin and death. From this point on, there is no more condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus and we find new life in him. God looks at us and sees the righteousness of the Son. Many of us have experienced this, and you might go, yes, yes, I know what you mean when you're talking about regeneration. For some, this is good news that's new, and you have never heard before that Jesus offers freedom and life in place of sin and death. If God is stirring something new in your hearts as you listen to this, please come and talk to our prayer team after. We'd love to help you take the first step of your journey with Christ and receive the gift of life that he offers to you today. But our topic is sanctification, and so I'm going to press on, and I ask that you would press on with me. Romans 8, 5 through 16 says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind is governed by the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because the Spirit lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not according to the flesh. It is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God, and the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's kids." That's quite a lot, and it's probably not one that you pick up every morning and read as a devotional passage. This text is describing a contrast, the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. And so before we go any further, I just want to define these two words. In Paul's understanding, this is not like a philosophical, the flesh is our bodies and the Spirit is something out there. But rather, it's a sense that the flesh is the worldly. It's the sinful, broken tendencies of our world and of humankind. In contrast, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Unless it's Spirit with a little S, and then it refers to the human spirit. So that's a few words for where we're at in this passage. You know, I have read this passage time and time and time again this week because I wanted to understand this contrast between life and death. Paul here is telling us that a life led by the flesh leads to death. But what can he mean? Because we already know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if we look at this passage in light of sanctification, we need to find a different way through. Death and life in this text seem to give us a picture of an earthly consequence. Eternal salvation is secure in our understanding of the regeneration process. So in sanctification, we are not looking at our eternal security, but rather we're looking at what kind of life God desires for us to live. John 10:10 may be helpful as we think about this flesh and spirit, death and life, because in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." God desires for us to live a full life, a life that is sanctified and Christ-like, a life that leads people to see Jesus in us. The act of sanctification, then, is this act of surrendering the mind, the will, the life, and the spirit to the work of God. Cultivating a spirit-led, spirit-filled disposition of heart and mind is necessary if we are to please God. And so what can we do to cultivate this? Well, it would seem that Paul understands that what we feed our mind is what we follow. And so if we feed our mind the things of the world, then death will follow. But if we feed our mind the things of God, then life will follow. There are different practices that we can enter into as we think about feeding our minds. Reading our Bibles, confession, prayer, listening, worship are all practices that we can enter that will feed our minds on our spiritual journey with God. At the same time, Paul makes it clear that we are God's kids. This is not a checklist that I need to check, read my Bible, check, pray, check that I've done these things every single day. God is saying you are secure as God's kids. You are secure as my kids, no matter what you do. But this is a work of growing, transforming, healing, and freeing us to be the true people that God desires for us to be. Christ is calling us to find our true identity in him, and this is sanctification. As we finish off our passage, we find a little bit of definition for the term glorification. In Romans 8:17-18, it says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will one day be revealed in us." Glorification is this final act, this final moment, and it's rightly described as something that is yet to come. It's something that we wait for and long for and hope for as a believer. We eagerly await Christ's return, and we know that when he comes, we will share in his glory. Every step in this journey is important to God, and every step is important to our process of becoming more like Christ. I think it would be much easier if we went from regeneration, getting a new heart, to glorification, being completely and wholly freed of sin. And maybe you do too. This middle sanctification period, where we're battling between earthly and spirit, flesh and spirit, it's the hard part. It's the part that we have a challenge to understand and to really walk in. This sanctification stage of the journey, though, is the one we spend the most time in our life as believers. And so we need to not only understand, but learn to act out this life of sanctification. And so I'm going to spend the rest of our time this morning telling you a story of how I've stumbled through the process of sanctification and seeing God work in my life in growing me and sanctifying me. I want you to know that I don't have this all figured out, and I don't intend to until the very end when God says, these are the things that you did right, and these are the things that you still need to work on, because our life of sanctification isn't one that will ever be complete in this life. This isn't a problem for God. God can use us no matter where we find ourselves in the journey. As many of you know, I accepted Christ at a young age, and I believe God started his sanctification work in me through all of my childhood and through my youth years. But the story I want to tell you is from 2008. I had been on staff here for 2 years at North Shore Alliance, and I was beginning to see that there were parts of me that were not reflecting Christ into the world. I was at our women's retreat, and the speaker was talking about living a life of deep and intimate relationship with God. I don't think she ever used the word sanctification, but she was speaking about her transformational journey of doing life, and I remember in my spirit knowing I need some of that. She talked about living in step with the Spirit, about listening and obeying the Spirit. She talked about finding her true identity in Christ. She talked about the power the Spirit brought for her to overcome her sinful nature and overcome her fears. But the thing that I remember most about this woman's words to us were that they were so full of love. A love for God and a love for his people. And I kept thinking, I want to be like that. When I grow up, I want more of that. Interesting. Edie Simpson, the founder of the CMA, who wrote and drew our lovely pictures, says that love is key to sanctification. He goes as far as saying sanctification means love. We cannot be conformed to the image of God without love because God is love. I was hungry. I was unsatisfied with where I found myself, and I was ready to take the next step. And so after she was done speaking, I asked her what I should do. How do I get from where I am to where I want to be? I remember her telling me that just identifying my need, speaking out loud this hunger, was the first step. And that coming to a place of understanding there really is more is the first step to walking in our journey of sanctification. She told me that I needed to surrender and invite the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, this sounds quite simple, right? Surrender, invite the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so I said, how do you do that? She said that she likes to worship. And so I could lie on my floor and turn on some worship music and focus on Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit to come. And if I asked, he would come. And so I thought, well, that sounds pretty simple. And off I went to my room. I think my roommate probably thought I was nuts, but that's okay. And so I put on my earbuds, and I put on some worship music, and I lay on the floor, and I invited the Spirit to come. Well, I did this actually several times throughout the weekend. And as we gathered for corporate worship, I really focused on surrendering my life to his. But as the weekend came to a close, I remember feeling like nothing was different. I remember thinking, I don't know if this is working for me. Maybe I'm doing it wrong, you know? So I went to talk to our speaker just to make sure I was doing it right. And I'm sure she laughed inside. She didn't laugh outside. She looked at me and she said with so much grace, Linda, change doesn't happen instantaneously. And I there must be something that I can do to hurry it along, you know? Because I'd really like to get from here to there. She reminded me that sanctification was about the journey. My role was to position myself in a way that God could work. She also gave me a piece of advice. She said, when you go home, buy a plant and watch it grow. Now, I am a terrible gardener, but I worked really hard to help this plant grow. And I later learned that my neighbors worked really hard to help make this plant grow as well. The plant needed to be watered and taken care of. It needed to sit in the sun. And it needed to be tended to and cared for almost daily. Probably daily, hence my neighbors helping. It's interesting that the plant doesn't decide when it's going to grow. It's not of the plant's own effort that fruit comes to the tree. It's not of the plant's own effort that it gets bigger. In fact, the plant does very little but sit in the light of the sun and receive the water that is given to us, or given to it. I think this plant was a good picture of God's work of sanctification in our lives. Sanctification is the act of positioning ourselves in a place where we can receive. It's the act of coming with open hands and saying, Lord, I need you more than I do. It's the ability to say, God, in your timing and in your way, please work in my life. I surrender to you. God will show up. God will fill us, and God will grow us. It may not happen instantaneously. In fact, it rarely happens instantaneously because God deeply cares about the journey. Sanctification is not the result of our effort to be better or our effort to grow ourselves. Rather, as Simpson says, only thing we can do is give ourselves wholly to God as a voluntary sacrifice. He must do the work. Well, God wasn't planning to work on my schedule of 24 hours or 48 hours at our women's retreat. This was a season of real growth in my life. In the days and weeks and months that followed, God did work in me in new and unexpected ways. I began to hear God's voice. I grew in confidence of who I was. I let go of habits and hang-ups that just didn't reflect Jesus. Some of this was hard work, but I knew that it was not my hard work. It was God's Spirit empowering me to work on my salvation. God's Spirit was doing something that I couldn't do on my own, that I couldn't do by myself. You may be thinking, this still sounds easy. I submit to God, I surrender, I give my life to Him, and He works, and then one day I'll be perfect, right? Because that's our goal. But it's not God's goal. God's goal is that we would journey with Him. God's goal is that we would figure it out. God's goal is that we would surrender and trust. My 8 years since this season of growth have seen other seasons of real growth and surrender. But there are also times that I feel like I'm walking backwards, saying, not that part of my life, not now, not willing to surrender. I think this is how life is, because we are broken and we are human. And we do find ourselves living between the life of the world and the life of God. We find ourselves caught in this middle place, and somehow we need to find our way through. The key here is that God wants to grow us. God wants to transform us, and God wants to sanctify us so we can be more like Him. I want to give you some tips of how you can do this, or how you can take the first step this week. Wherever in the process you find yourself, I believe God is calling us to step forward, because I believe He has more for us today. Some of us may need to acknowledge our need to be sanctified. Maybe God is growing this hunger inside of you that says, I can't stay the way I am. Maybe you've become complacent and comfortable, And you need God to show you what places He'd like you to grow. Knowing our brokenness and acknowledging our need is the first step of sanctification. Are there areas of your life holding you back? Are there things you need to hand over to Jesus? Are you afraid to surrender and invite the work of the Spirit? Sometimes I am. But God's Spirit will empower and enable us. What we need to do is ask God to fill us and begin to cleanse, heal, and make us whole. This week, perhaps you need to step out in obedience, listen for God's voice, and follow His commands so you can live a life of love. The question I always ask when I think about how much of my life is surrendered to the process of sanctification is, when people encounter me, are they finding the love, grace, peace, and joy of Jesus? How much of me are they seeing, and how much of Him? Whatever step you feel like God is calling you to take today, I know that He's right here, and He's going to meet you right in the midst. So this morning, as we bring this service to a close, we want to give you room to respond. We want this to be a place where we can say, God, I need to surrender my life fully to You. God, I need to receive a fresh filling of Your Spirit. God, I need for You to work in the midst. And so we have a few songs that speak these words. Lord, I surrender. Lord, all I am is Yours. And as we sing these songs, I invite you to make it your prayer to God, that you would be giving all of your life to Him. And if you're not ready, if you can't sing these words, that's okay. Just let them wash over you. And embrace knowing that you are deeply, deeply loved by God. For some here, you may feel empty. And you may feel like, I need to be filled new with God's Spirit. You may be feeling this urge to receive something new that you've never experienced before, or that you've known but you've somehow lost. I encourage you to put your hands open and to ask the Spirit to fill you today. There is so much more. God desires to fill us so much by His Spirit. And for some of us, it's really taking that next step. Maybe we know what that next step is, and we know the place God is saying, you need to give me this. You need to let go of your right to be. You need to change your thinking on. And if that's the case, I encourage you this week to take some time with God and to take some time working through what that would look like for your life to come. As the worship comes to the close, we are going to have a prayer team here. And one of the things that I've found in my sanctifying journey is that life with God is really not something we can do alone. And so we do worship together, but we also say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to ask God, stand with me as I ask God to take this part of my life. I need you to stand with me as I ask God to fill. And so I just really want to encourage you now, and I'm going to say it again at the end, that if you want somebody to stand with you, the prayer team is here, and they would love to bless you this morning with a fresh touch of Jesus. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship. God, thank you that you are the one who sanctifies. Thank you that you care so much about our journey with you. And you, God, want to take us to deep and new places with you. Thank you, Lord God, that you have more for each and every one of us here in this room. And you're calling and wooing and pursuing us so that we would take another step of finding you. God, I thank you that this is all about relationship, and that you care so much more about who we are than you do about what we've checked off the list today. God, thank you for your grace and your love that fills each and every one of us. God, with open hands and open hearts, we receive your Spirit today, and we invite your Spirit to work. And we ask, Lord God, that as we surrender, you would meet us in this place. We ask, Lord God, that as we position ourselves, you would be the one to grow us tall and strong, that you would fill us with good fruit, and that we would be your hands and feet in the world. God, thank you that you desire for us to look like Jesus. We want that. We want so much to be like him. Thank you, God, that you love us. And thank you, God, that you have plans and purposes for each and every one of us. We surrender to you today.